I guess we need to define that word comfort, right? As to what they really mean when they say feel comfortable. I heard it said once that we're here to make the uncomfortable comfortable and the comfortable uncomfortable. Are you comfortable? I wanted to read some statistics that I jotted down a while back from a group of national leaders. They met recently to discuss the need for discipleship and evangelism in our churches. During one session, the following statistics were presented. I want you to hear this. 79%, that's almost 8 out of 10, of churchgoers would never invite anyone to church. How many would agree with me that God wants people in church? 98% would not invite anyone or any unsaved or pre-Christian individual to go with them to church. 80% of evangelical Christians say the primary purpose of the church, listen, is to see to their comfort and needs. That is totally contrary to the message of Christ. We are here to serve. I'm here to serve you. You're here to serve one another. Amen?
Amen.
We're here to serve the people of our community. There's lots of opportunities to serve. Is the way of comfort always the best way? Is obedience to God's will always comfortable? That's a feel-good message that people will grab a hold of, though. Because, yeah, hey, that sounds good. But we're baiting them for disaster, for a fall. Because what they don't realize is that when you say yes to Jesus, you just made the devil mad. But we don't focus on him. We don't dwell on him. We don't have to talk about him. Just to say, yeah, he's there. But what we need to do is talk about, focus on, praise, and exalt Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
You create the atmosphere around yourself by taking the perspective of heaven. We are risen together with Christ and seated in heavenly places. And so when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're saying, as in heaven, so let it be on the earth. We are from the perspective of being seated in Christ in heavenly places. Not billions of light years away from a God who lives somewhere out in the far distant galaxy. But the word is near you, even in your mouth. The word of faith that we preach. It's a simple acknowledging of what Jesus has said, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here among you. Come to a realization that God is here, right now, with us. That greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. That no weapon formed against you shall prosper, unless you, of course, you want to bow your knee to that dude by simply disobeying what the Lord has already instructed you to do. The way of the transgressor is hard. But Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's a blessed life to walk with the Lord. It doesn't mean that it's always going to be easy, but it is a blessed life to walk with the Lord. I don't want it any other way. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 13, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Verse 14, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Interesting word for difficult there. In the Greek, it's got several meanings. One being confined, another afflict, suffer, tribulation, trouble. Because narrow is the gate, and confined, afflicted, suffering, tribulation, trouble is the way that leads to life. And there are few who find it. If you want a comfortable life, you're not going to find it. Period. There are people who are searching for comfort in the world. How many were medicating themselves, trying to find a little comfort? I got both hands up. How long did that comfort last? Only as long as the high. And then comes the crash. And a constant striving to achieve that high again, which you can never quite get. It keeps going down and down and down and down till finally you're just overloading yourself and you're not getting high anymore. And you overdose and die in some cases. But that's the way of the world. The artificial security blankets that the devil will offer you. Temporary quick fixes, you know. Microwave living at its best. You don't have to wait for anything. You can have it now. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Party up! What are people looking for? They're looking for comfort. We're all looking for heaven. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for heaven. People know this world stinks. They know it. So they're looking for a way to feel good. If you really want comfort, the only place you're going to find it is in the presence of Jesus. He is the comforter. Amen? He will make you comfortable in your discomfort. He's able to lift you up above your circumstances and give you refuge, give you rest in your spirit, in your soul. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. And the world is full of lies that offer you cheap fixes, quick fixes. Get rich quick, everything quick. There's more suicide among the rich than anyone else. Jesus said, verse 24 of Matthew 7, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. How many have ever heard that statement? The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. The best place, the safest place to be, is in the will of God. And while you find yourself in the will of God, there's going to be difficulty. There's going to be tribulation. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be opposition. But guess what? No matter where you are, whether you're in Christ or outside of Christ, there's going to be difficulty in this world. You're not going to find the answers in the world, and the only answer is in Christ. Amen. But whatever you suffer for doing right, for doing what you've done in obedience to Christ, God will honor you. He will reward you for that. Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Was the cross comfortable? God often moves us outside of our comfort zone. At least, I want to say this initially. He moves us to do things that are humanly impossible. He leads us into places where our natural man resists. Are you with me? Something to do something that goes against even our natural desires. See, the problem is a lot of Christians go by their natural desires. If it's pleasurable, if it feels good, then I'll do it. We put conditions on the will of God. Do you know what? You'll find yourself in even greater misery if you don't listen to God. God may have you talk to people that you may not ordinarily talk to. You know why? Because God is bigger, amen, than we are. And His assignment for us is bigger than us. And that way we must trust in Him for the provision of His supernatural power to do that which is humanly impossible. What God is calling you to do, you and I to do, is beyond us. So the power will be of Him and not of us. Therefore, the world will see and know that this God that we speak of is not just some fictional character in a book, but He is alive. Jesus Christ is alive. He has indeed risen from the dead. And God is bearing witness to that fact of the resurrection through the gifts and the graces of the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus had promised to those who obey Him. Have you been obedient? Or are we just trying to live in the comfort zone? How many know that living in that comfort zone is only for a short season, and God's going to rock your boat? Because He's got a mission and an assignment for us, and I have never been disappointed when I have obeyed the Lord. Even when it looked scary, and I did it anyways, I was never disappointed. I was always like, oh God, that was awesome. I'm just glad I got to be a part. There is nothing more exciting than serving Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. How many remember Jonah? God says, go to Nineveh. He flees to Tarshish. No, sorry, out of my comfort zone, God. His assignment was for him to do something that he was naturally opposed to. So he thought he could just run away from God. But God did what? He prepared, first of all, a storm arose. How many know that sometimes the storms in our lives are due to our lack of obedience? And even the people around Jonah were being rocked by his bad behavior too. Because he was out of the will of God. How many know that there's Christians that are bouncing around from place to place, from church to church, and they're just going around stirring up trouble wherever they go because they will not stay in the assignment that God gave them? Because the first time somebody has a problem, the pastor said the wrong thing, somebody stepped on their toe, somebody didn't shake their hand, the first time there's a problem, that's it, I'm out of here. Well, did God release you to go? It's not a matter of, did it feel good? It's like, are you allowed to go? We just want to go and feel good all the time. And guess what? They're dragging all that baggage around with them. There's a whole train of baggage they're dragging right into the next place. And they can't do anything right even there. God's saying, what I want you to do is settle down, repent, get yourself cleaned up first. Quit judging everybody around you. Quit looking at your brother and what he's doing. You do what I tell you to do. Just like Peter asking Jesus, Jesus, what about John over there? He says, what's that to you, Peter? You just pay attention to your assignment. I'll take care of John. Joseph with the promises, you know, the sheaves bowing down, his family would bow down to him, and the favored son in the house, and life was good for Joseph. Next thing he knows, he's being sold as a slave. Daniel, you know, had all the promises too, finds himself in the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego find themselves in the fiery furnace. These were all men that were in the will of God. Israel in the wilderness, was that the will of God? Yes. That he may prove and try them. And that they would know that man does not live by his own means, but by God. He is the bread of life. And of course, our Lord on the cross. Was it comfortable? No. In every case, the will of God involved discomfort. How about studying? You like to study? Some people enjoy studying. But for a lot of folks, studying is not a pleasant thing. But studying is something that we must do. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself. Is it 2:15 or 2:15? To show yourself approved. A workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to study the word of God. Is it always pleasant to study? No. Not initially. But when you start to study and you begin to obey God in this, and you allow the Holy Spirit to begin to open the word to you and to teach you, you find out that this thing is good. This starts to feed my spirit. This starts to feed me and fill me and build me and show me who I am and who God is in this relationship that He's made available to me, and that I'm a child of His, a son of the Most High God, and that God has given me a purpose to live, and that is for kingdom purposes of heaven on the earth. Hallelujah. That's who we are. You can't stand on the promises if you don't know what they are. How about receiving correction? Is that comfortable? Has anybody ever benefited from someone correcting you? You better raise your hand, right? Has it been pleasant at the time? No. Correction is not pleasant initially, but later on, it can produce pleasure in your life because now you've learned some things. You've learned how to behave in a way that will bring a blessing in your life. Amen? To get you in alignment with God and even the laws of man. Correction is necessary. And because people don't like to be corrected, some people... Sorry, I'm going to trip on my shoelace here. I never learned that lesson. Some people don't receive correction. They're the most spiritual people you run into, you know. But as soon as you try to bring a little correction out of love and care and concern for them, what happens to them? I ain't going here anymore. I'm out of here. Did I do that good? If you love people, you tell them the truth. Yeah. It's not always comfortable. We cannot just live within the boundaries of my comfort. Sometimes you have to be uncomfortable to be comfortable. Are you with me? So God's ways often bring us into places where there are difficulties. We must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom. There has to be pruning of the tree for it to produce more fruit. And we don't like to be pruned. We don't like to be snipped this, snipped off, and that snipped off. But it's necessary for you and I to develop and grow. And you know there's a proverb in chapter 29, verse 1, it says, "He who is often reproved and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." It didn't happen overnight, but it happens like this all of a sudden because they continue to refuse instruction when somebody was loving them enough to try to tell them this is the way. If you go that way, you're going to walk into a minefield. Oh, I don't want anybody telling me what to do. I remember one time I was back in Brattleboro, Vermont. I don't know if anybody ever heard of Brattleboro, Vermont, southern Vermont. He's been there. People walk around with, you know, zoned out eyes all over the place there, right? It's a little Berkeley is what it is. That's where I grew up. And, but, you know, I can remember walking down the sidewalk, and there's this lady, there was a entryway into a parking lot, you know, and so I had stopped, so because she was pulling off a busy street, you know, or traffic, and I said, go ahead, and she pulls up beside me, rolls the window down, and she says, don't tell me what to do. I mean, these people were going to plow into her. It's funny things like that people do, you know. It's okay, Johnny. Go ahead and play in traffic. It's fine, yeah. We don't want to make you uncomfortable. I'm sorry, you got a boy named Johnny. I didn't mean Johnny. You know, Jonah said that anything but the will of God is a lying vanity or a worthless idol. It's vain living. Anything but the will of God. There is no substitute, folks, for the will of God. What we try to do is substitute things. We know what God said, but we want to strike a deal with Him. We want to compromise a little bit, and we want to kind of tailor the will of God to fit my idea of what it should be. And then we wonder why there's no joy. We wonder why we're not enjoying this walk. Maybe it's because we're not smarter than God. Maybe it's because He's got a better way than our way. And if we could say yes and cooperate with Him, even when it's beyond our ability, then it can be God, and then it's even more exciting. This is an adventure that we are living. So many Christians, my heart goes out, are just not living the adventure. They're sitting in the boat, hoping that somebody will get out. Hoping that somebody will reach out to those icky people. Hoping that somebody will do something about all these problem kids that are running around this neighborhood. Yours right on this morning. Isn't it true? We can be like the armies of Israel. You know, and the garrison shaking in their armor, you know, and saying, oh, God, get the giant. Oh, God, get the giant. God, get the giant. And God's saying, what are you doing? I've given you the power in my name to topple the giant. You got to get out there and face that giant, because the giant is no match for the Holy Spirit. Oh, did you hear that? The giant is no match for the Holy Spirit. The devil is no match for the Holy Spirit. But he tries to bluff you and tell you he is. So you shrink back in fear and you say, oh God, would you? Oh God, would you? He said, I've already given you the commission to go. And as you go, say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick that are there. Amen? Cast out devils, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Freely you've received, freely give. As we'll cooperate with the Lord, as we walk with Him, and whatever it looks like, it's probably going to be bigger than us, but if you just say yes, okay, God, here goes. God comes through and He blows us away, because it's like, wow. Like Nels used to say, oh, don't be surprised. Because we're always like, whoa. But we shouldn't be surprised. We should expect that God's going to confirm His word. God's going to back up His word with signs following. It's going to be change. Now, I'm almost through. You doing okay? If we are going to reach the lost, We cannot live by our feelings. We have to obey the Lord. And when we obey the Lord and we do what He tells us to do and we step out for Him, good feelings will follow. He'll make you feel good. And you know what? If you bring pleasure to the Father, you'll have pleasure. When a man's ways are pleasing to Him, guess what? You're going to know it. When the Father smiles on your life, am I right? When His favor is upon you because you have listened to His voice and you even went against what your natural inclination was, as soon as God tells you to do something, there's going to be a battle. There's going to be another part of you, are you hearing today, that's going to rise up and say, oh, I don't want to do that. Or I can't do that. That's the part that has to be starved. That's the part that has to die. The part that would say, I don't want to do that, is that rebellious nature that's within each one of us. So what you do is you get full of Jesus. Full of Jesus. And He lifts you up into another place in the Spirit where you're full of love. And it's not, I need more boldness. I just need the love of God. When you're full of His love, you just want to love people and you can't help but tell them. And sometimes there's going to be fear, the giant of fear. What do? You come against it. You step against it. Am I right? Simply come against that thing. Do the opposite. And guess what? It will get out of the way. Oh. Because it'll come up there. Oh, you know, you just say, no, get out of the way. I'm on an assignment from the Lord who has all power, all authority in heaven and on earth and even under the earth. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 4. I've used this before, but I want to bring it back. He who observes the wind will not sow. I want you to think on that. And he who observes the clouds will not reap. If you and I do not sow, there's not going to be a harvest. If we don't give, if we don't serve, if we don't obey the voice of God, there's not going to be a harvest, folks. And guess what? When you get ready to sow, there's probably going to be some clouds. Are you with me? There's going to be some wind. There's going to be opposition anytime you and I decide that we're going to obey God. That is that unbelief that we need to conquer and say, no, I'm not going to listen to that. This is what God said to do. You've heard this said before, but courage is not necessarily the absence of fear. It's the mastery over it. When you get ready to serve and to step out for Jesus, there will be opposition. But guess what? The devil may hinder you, but he cannot stop you. I'm going to say it again. The devil may hinder you, but he cannot stop you. That is the truth. Behold, I give you power to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We're not wrestling against people, flesh and blood, but against principalities of power, spirits of wickedness in high places. We have been given the authority to go in Jesus' name. We have been given divine power by the Holy Spirit to advance the kingdom of God. And the only thing that's stopping us is our unwillingness to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, because that other part of us is saying, I don't want to do that because it means I'm going to be uncomfortable. But whenever we rebel against God and we want to preserve our or save ourselves discomfort, guess what? The storm comes. And you're going to find yourself even more miserable. Now, is that good news today? There is joy in the Holy Spirit. There is joy in obedience. Do you want a joyful life? Just start saying, no matter what the cost, I'm going to reach the lost. No matter what the cost, I'm going to obey the great commission of the Lord. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Who's that speaking to? Amen. Every single person who has been born again, that has the Spirit of Christ in them, has also been commissioned to now go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things that I taught you. And lo, I am with you always. And it's so exciting to know that I am on an assignment from the God, the King of heaven. Amen. That heaven is backing you and I up. And so that giant that will stand before you to oppose you, to stop you, knows that if you just keep stepping towards him, he's going to have to move. And what he'll try to do is just to bluff you, to shut you down. He'll try to lie to you and try to whisper in your ear and say, oh, you better not do that. I'll mess you up. Do you know our fear of the enemy actually gives him power in our lives? What you fear will master you. What you fear will master you. You actually worship what you're fearing. So what we need to do is oppose that, come against that in Jesus' name. Take a stand against that spirit of fear and say, no way. I am not bowing down to you. I have my orders. I am a warrior in the Lord's army. I have divine armor. I have the sword of the Spirit. There is nothing that can stand in my way except myself listening to your lies. And you may come at me with spear and sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. As David ran at that giant and took him down. Hallelujah. Now, we need to rise above our insecurities, indifference, and selfishness to see the mission of Christ accomplished in the earth. I want to just ask you one question. We're almost through. If the way of the Lord is narrow and difficult, how can His yoke and burden be light? If it's narrow and difficult that leads to life, how can His yoke be easy and His burden light? It's when you and I come to the end of ourselves and we realize that it's by grace. It's by the power of God that we live, we move, we obey. Amen? It's not in myself. It's not in my ability. It's in His ability. It's when I look past myself, step away from myself, and I let that part that wants to oppose what God says to do, and I step out in obedience to God, that the Holy Spirit cooperates always with the will of the Father. And He comes upon you, and He empowers you, and He gives you great boldness. And it becomes light. It becomes easy when it's the Lord doing the work through us. Initially, obedience can be difficult. There is going to be suffering in obedience at times. Because you did the right thing, you're going to suffer for it. But again, Jesus said, "What? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross." He looked beyond the momentary, the temporary. He looked beyond the difficulties of that moment. And he saw that there was something far greater awaiting him that compelled him to move. And you know what that was? It was love for you. Love for me. That's why Jesus came. He loved you that much that he was willing to go all the way to the cross for you and I. What was the joy, folks? What was the joy? It was the joy of having you and I part of his family. It was the joy of rescuing you and I from hell. That's the joy set before him. Do you know that we need to have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus? When it comes to the lost, we need to be thinking about where are they going to spend eternity? What are we doing to help people escape hell? What are we doing to ensure that people have a chance to know Jesus? Do we care? God, change our hearts. The Lord has called us to be involved in his work. Why are we here? We are here to be equipped for the work of the ministry. That's what this is. It's a training center for the work of the ministry. Every one of us engaging in the mission of God on the earth. That is our number one primary purpose for being here. It's the mission of God, not our comfort, but the mission of God. And if you take care of his stuff, he's going to take care of you. And even though you may be uncomfortable for a season, God is the one who'll come along and give you comfort. And there's no comfort like the comfort of the Lord. I just spent a couple days flat on my back, sick as a dog. And yet there are moments in that where the Lord is so precious and so sweet and so close and so near. It's in those times that you experience his grace in ways often you won't find any other way. You see how good the Lord is. And sometimes, you know, we just need to be thankful. Lord, thank you for this time on my back. Because I've been so stinking busy doing stuff that I missed the most important thing, and that is time with you. And out of time with him, folks, will come a heart for the lost. Because his heart will be in you. Would you stand with me this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Jesus.